I'm Lights Camera Jackson. Welcome to the LCJ Q&A podcast. DreamWorks, The Croods, A New Age. It's in theaters Wednesday, November 25th, a highly anticipated sequel. Returning here to the LCJ Q&A podcast is director Joel Crawford. Joel, it is great to see you.
Good to see you too.
Thanks for being on. You were on the show 3 years ago for Trolls Holiday.
I remember that.
Yeah. Right around this time of year, I loved Trolls Holiday and enjoyed this film as well. At that point in November of 2017, when Trolls Holiday was just airing on NBC, at what point in production on The Croods, A New Age, were you at?
You know, I don't think I even had, I think I had just started kind of diving into, to back up, Croods, you know, came out 7 years ago, mm-hmm. and the studio has been trying to make a Croods sequel for that long. There's a couple reasons why. I mean, one was like Universal had just bought DreamWorks and they kind of put everything on hold and were kind of evaluating which projects to go forward with. The other thing is like sequels are really hard to make. Good sequels are really hard to make. The first movie is so beloved and it's such a great story and it's the characters are just awesome. And I can say all that because I didn't work on it and I'm such a fan of it. So approaching the movie, I was like, it was, okay, what have they tried before? What scripts on two have been attempted? And what can I pull from that to not just throw everything out and go, okay, I'm taking it this way, but to build on the ideas that had already been developed. So when I approached, I think to go back to your question, at that point, there was a script from a past version that both Mark Swift and myself had just started to read as a way in to go, is this the story we're telling? The end result is quite different than that script, but the key thing was it was the Croods meeting another family. And I thought that was such a great, it feels like the obvious next big event in the Croods' life.
It does, and it makes sense, and I'm glad because I was seeing some headlines for a few years of what's happening to Croods 2? Is it happening? Is it not? I'm glad it happened. I am. I interviewed Chris Sanders and Kirk D'Amico when the first Croods came out in March 2013. They have story credits on this sequel. Did you work with them a lot in constructing some of that story and coming into this with the new ideas?
It's funny because I was working side by side with Chris and Kirk where I was working on the Trolls franchise and I would go to brainstorms with them as they were working on this, you know, early on. Yeah. One of the nice things when I took on directing this Croods sequel, Chris Sanders wasn't at the studio anymore. He was working on some other projects out, but he was nice enough to come back in, give me notes on the script, give me insights into things they've tried, and just help me understand the characters, which was an awesome handoff to go, okay, now run with it. And so that was really empowering, and I really appreciated that.
That's cool. That's cool. And it's been a bit since Nicolas Cage, Emma Stone, and Ryan Reynolds first voiced these characters. So what kinds of things did you do to help bring them back into the mindset of voicing these characters?
You know what? With these amazing actors, I just kind of get out of the way. I'm just like, here's enough context. Go. Especially like Nick Cage, like he always surprises me, and I think himself as well, with certain things he just like keys into. He's just always pulling from different kind of inspirations in his life or different cinematic history that he like taps into other actors. All of our cast are amazing. One of the challenges I'd say was with the returning cast of, like you said, Nick Cage, Clark Duke, Catherine Keener, Emma Stone, Ryan Reynolds, Cloris Leachman, they're an amazing source of talent. Whoever we brought in had to be able to match and go toe-to-toe with the Croods family. And so when we got Leslie Mann for Hope Betterman and Kelly Marie Tran for Dawn Betterman, the daughter, and Peter Dinklage for the father, Phil Betterman, they were all the perfect match to really like elevate the comedy between these two families.
Yeah. I really like Leslie Mann's voice performance. And also when you said Nick Cage surprises himself and you, I think Nick Cage surprises everybody, like every moviegoer with all of his film choices. One of the last films I saw in a theater with a crowd was Color Out of Space, which was the sci-fi movie that came out recently. Everybody's just getting so into all the craziness that Nick Cage goes through.
But you know what? You know what's great about him? He's he wants it to be fresh. You know, he does so much, right? And it's like, how do you not get stale as an actor and repeat yourself? And he doesn't repeat himself. And those are the ones where Nick will go, oh, that reminds me of Prince. And like, I don't know what the connection is, but I go with it. And then that's the stuff I go, you don't have to know the reference point, but there's something magical in that performance that I'm like, I'm using that take.
If he knows that he's got it, then go with it. Definitely. And the surprising element is that Emma Stone's character Eep and Kelly Marie Tran's character Dawn become friends. They're not frenemies. They're not enemies. This love triangle for guy doesn't happen, which I thought it was gonna, but I like this refreshing take that you do. Why did you decide to go in this direction?
You know, that was actually one of the first big changes we made from where the script was at, where when we came in, and it wasn't the Chris and Kirk script, but there had been some other iterations. When Mark Swift and I read the script, there was this element of when Dawn, the daughter of the other family, and Eep met, they were jealous of each other. And we backed it up and said, well, let's go from, there's kind of two qualifiers for approaching this sequel. I want it to be true to the characters because I love the first Croods. And so I want everything to come from that, from our character's point of view, not just for entertainment, go like bring it back to the honesty of the character and also positivity. I wanted to feel like this movie was a celebration and that it just brings this joy to the world. And so with those two qualifiers, looked at like when Eep, who's with her family all the time, yes, she's met Guy and has a boyfriend, but she comes across another teenage girl. There isn't high school. There isn't all these other people around. The reality is you would be overjoyed. And she is. And I was like, let's turn that up to level 11 with like picking up the Dawn and going, I have a girlfriend. So that was kind of one of the big kind of first big changes we made in the script. And from there, we just said, oh, it's so fun and refreshing to see girls not only in a scene talking, like they're not talking about a guy, they're so fascinated with each other. And there's actually so much comedy that comes from their interaction together, which also a lot of times it's a trope to kind of relegate the comedy to the guys. And it was so fun to just pretty much everybody with this amazing cast. It's comedy with the guys and the girls.
Yeah. It is. No, that's really smart thinking. Very smart. Joel Crawford, director of Croods: The New Age, is my guest right now on the LCJ Q&A podcast. One of my favorite parts of the film was watching Thunk experience the window as television. How did that concept come about?
as a general idea, everything has to challenge the Croods family, the Croods family's worldview. And so, you know, everybody's going through change. You know, Eep and Guy are ready to leave the pack and Grug's not okay with that. There's that change going on. And, you know, the Bettermans bringing this modern idea to the Croods, it seemed like the perfect, like, platform to have essentially the world's first, like, tablet, the world's first iPad or TV. And to have it as simple as a window, but what that might have been, you know, for a cave person to go, wow, I could see outside, and then later to make a portable one. And also having young kids myself and having them all day on the computer, it just seemed like a no-brainer.
Yeah, it is very clever. I enjoyed that a lot. And a key member of the DreamWorks family who contributes some songs to this movie is Jack Black. And when I suddenly hear Jack Black's voice in the film, I was like, wow, because obviously Kung Fu Panda, Shark Tale, how did he decide to get involved in this DreamWorks movie?
Yeah, that's fun, huh? one of the first big things that felt right for the music side of things was tapping into the talents of Mark Mothersbaugh as the composer for the music. And so Mark just brings so much personality, so much life to the score, that already he's an amazing talent. One of the cool bonuses is he's friends with Jack Black and they've been wanting to collaborate. And so Mark brought Jack in, and for us, really, I think independent of Jack being part of the DreamWorks family, Jack's like his energy is so fun that it seemed like perfect to have him do a cover of I Think I Love You.
Right.
So
it's good. Yeah. You get some surprises and watch through the whole end credits for more of Jack Black. It's good to hear his voice. The day we're speaking here now doing this interview happens to be the 13th anniversary of the release of B-Movie. And I know you were a part of B-Movie as a story artist. Can you share a little bit about what do you think about B-Movie? What comes to mind for you?
I think they gave me a credit I didn't deserve. It's a really funny movie. The truth is I had just got to the studio and I was working on Kung Fu Panda as a storyboard artist, and B-Movie was in this time of like finishing up, and they borrowed me just for like a few weeks, and somehow they gave me a credit on that movie. So I'm a fan of the comedy in that movie and love the team that worked on it, but it's not fair to give me credit for it.
A few weeks is a decent amount of time. I think that's fair.
There's artists who spend a few years on it.
That's true. Hey, that's all right. You were part of a great film for families and Seinfeld fans, obviously. At the beginning of this COVID pandemic, DreamWorks made headlines with taking Trolls World Tour from indoor theaters to VOD and drive-in theaters, and it did so well on both outlets. Croods New Age is going to be in theaters on November 25th. How did you and the studios come to that decision? Were there inside meetings? What was that all like?
You know, 2020, it's a hard year to plan. and so the studio has been awesome at trying to roll with, you know, I think everybody here is really excited about Croods, really excited to share it with the world and figuring out the best way to do that. Like, you know, half of this movie we completed at home. And one of the cool surprises for me was I'm approving shots of final lighting that's supposed to be beautiful on a laptop. And over the last couple of months, we actually started to come into the studio to see what it looks like on the big screen. And it's amazing. And so I was even like shocked, like, oh, it looks even better than what I thought. So I love that we're planning for theatrical release. I mean, what it comes down to is, I'm excited for people to see this movie any way they can, except for pirated, maybe not pirated.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. No, pirated, pirated is not good. But yeah, I hope families check this out safely in theaters. The Croods, A New Age, Wednesday, November 25th, right in time for Thanksgiving and the holiday season. I think it's going to be a great hit for all of you and everybody at DreamWorks. Joel, so great talking with you again. Thank you so much for being on the LCJ Q&A today.
It was great to see you again. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm Lights Camera Jackson. For more, go to lights-camera-jackson.com. Thanks for listening to this episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast.